hard to describe the past week. It was you know, people always talk about Mercury retrograde, which is what it was. And, you know, things go wrong, especially technologically. And I'm not all that into astrology. I mean, I believe in it, but I don't put a lot of weight in it. But this week I really had to call an astrologer because I had to see what is going on here. And it was Mercury retrograde with a kind of, for me, something called a Mars, God knows what, in some kind of transit and amplifying everything. But it's really fascinating to go through weeks where there is just continual obstruction in every possible angle, in every possible direction. Almost everything I have that's technical in the house broke this week. I mean, two televisions sparked off, a TiVo went down, the computer went down again, the car. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on and on. And I just erased a file as I was trying to set this little tape recorder up to talk about what I'm talking about. So it's not over by any means. although supposedly today is the end of the cycle. Not yet quite. And it literally made me kind of crazy. I mean, it was sort of like my own brain losing its structure. I looked at it as a kind of experiment in Alzheimer's, whereas my computer was just totally failing, and every bit of memory that I had was starting to go elsewhere and not coming back scrambled. And the chaos of it is really fascinating, and it's fascinating because it describes so much of what our lives often are. Our lives are often lived in a kind of chaos. We don't know exactly that they're chaos, but things don't line up. You know, you pick the wrong line at the grocery store, you pick the wrong freeway, whatever it is, there's stuff that just keeps getting in the way. And I was at one point almost in tears this week, and that doesn't happen to me very often because things just so against the flow for what I wanted. And of course, spiritually, after all of these years, I'm deeply aware that what's wanted here is not so much a change in the situation, because situations are what they are, right? I mean, life gives you and takes away. It provides abundance, it provides nothing. It does all of these things at various moments, and everybody enjoys or suffers the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. But I think the objective, obviously, is to be observant of this, and in some ways, I think, non-reactive. And being non-reactive brings you a kind of calm in the face of your travails. Well, I had very little calm in the face of my travails, and so of course when you don't have it, you're aware of an absence, and that absence speaks to you even as much as presence. Absence is as much a informant, if you will, about how to live as having something come to you. And it also is totally humiliating, you know, because how dare I sit in front of a class full of people and talk about anything spiritual when I go through a week, you know, so ineffectively. And on the other hand, it so presents the human experience. Chaos so in many ways defines our experience, that life is an ongoing struggle with ease and dis-ease, and a constant looking for harmony, a constant return to a kind of purity, and we so want that. And what's really interesting when you're in a state of chaos is that the little moments of which come out of nowhere, of course, these little moments where everything is like, right at this moment, it's okay. Not only is it okay, it's kind of sweet. And they come, you know, when you're drinking orange juice or you're just driving in the car and you're listening to a piece of music or something happens and you go, huh. And to become aware of that, to become aware of that harmonious moment in your life is so delicious and so about what we are looking for. But its real value is in reaction to all the other stuff. Finding harmony and equilibrium and balance really speaks to us because we also know disharmony and imbalance. And the harmony itself, I think, would rarely be recognized in our lives for what it is if it wasn't for all of the other stuff. To me, that harmony that we find in just simple moments is so appreciated and so welcomed because of all the stuff we've been through. And in a certain sense, it's a little bit of the divine or God or perfection making itself known in the midst of everything else. And the way it makes itself known is so simple. It's not like thunderclaps of I am here and I am the Lord your God. It's just, hi. Hi. Take it easy. Have an ice cream cone or whatever your thing is and enjoy. And that moment is so sweet and it's so simple. And in a way, it's so deeply reflective of what I think the final equilibrium of our life is. When we finally arrive at true purity of being, not that we aren't pure in our way, but when we finally arrive at a recognition of it, having gone through this unbelievable drama of human experience, it's just as sweet and just as hard to find the word, but the prodigal son, the return of the prodigal son, it is a welcoming to yourself. It is a welcoming to that deep simplicity of being home. And that's what equilibrium is. Equilibrium and balance and harmony are just settling in to what feels right about you, what feels right in you. And those moments come and they need to be recognized because they're not just little occurrences. They are the divine expressing itself in its most simple and harmonious way. And when you do recognize it, there is a kind of settling in and deep appreciation and gratitude. Because you know 10 minutes later it's all going to be back up in the air, it's all going to get stirred up again. But for a moment it goes, oh, wow, it's okay. It's a reminder, it's okay. I think the great awakening for people is a huge sense that it's okay. Just a huge sense, no matter what's going on, it's okay. And I've often known, even as a child, when I was very little, something told me it's all okay. No matter what's going on, I used to go into this place, even when I was crying, I remember sobbing as a kid, you know, in the crib and crying and, you know, God knows I haven't gotten my whatever, my milk, my whatever wasn't delivered at that moment, and just bawling like mad. And yet I knew in the middle of the bawling, something was really okay. It felt really good to be doing that. It felt really good to be expressing what I felt. And I just had this wonderful, deep down sense that no matter how bad it got outside, it's still okay. Because there's a kind of a hearth inside, a warmth in our being that welcomes and comforts us no matter what is going on. And that's what these little moments essentially are. You know, I mean, I'm ready to throw my computer through a window, but even so, I am sitting even here, just now, knowing all of this stuff with unbelievable gratitude for just being. You know, I sit here with each of you and I look at you and I look at your lives, and I know every one of you is going through your own thing. You're all having your own stuff every day. And my experience of being lost and caught in my stuff only makes me that much more appreciative, if you will, and aware of our collective human experience. I know people who are at extremity. I know people who are really without jobs. I know people whose lives are really, really, really hurting. And I know people whose lives are pretty good. And you know, in this room, there's even a collection of all of that. And it all passes. It all comes and it all goes. It's all part of the struggle. And God knows we all go through it. And sometimes we can't believe we can bear the kind of depth of struggle and pain that we are given. But even in that, there is something deeply, deeply okay. And you really discover it when you sit still. You really discover it when you meditate. You may think of meditation as an escape from all that other stuff, but it really is a reminder of what you already know. That no matter how hard it gets, no matter how strange it gets out there, there is this. There is this touch of the divine, of the infinite. And it touches you all the time. And of course we don't feel it regularly. We can't. I mean, there are those who do. I mean, the truly great awakened souls just feel it all the time. But I don't think it absolves them of any of the drama. They just relate to the drama differently. They just go, yeah, okay. Okay. Here comes another slap across the face. Okay. You just take it differently. That's what we're learning how to do. That's really the essence of our practice, is learning how to take it and know inside it's okay. I have this feeling. I don't know that it's totally justified, but it's a feeling that there really are happy endings. I have a feeling that life really delivers in the most beautiful and perfect way. I've been experiencing this thing when I drive, and probably shouldn't when I'm driving, but a lot of the time I feel this thing of like being Superman. By that I don't mean going out and saving the world or doing anything, but I have this feeling of lifting off and floating over everything. And I'm floating over my own problems, if you will. I'm floating over the day. I'm floating over the beauty of the earth. And I'm just floating there. And of course, with Superman, moves really fast and all that. But I find myself just amazed that I'm flying, that I'm just hovering, that I'm overlooking the landscape of my own being, which happens to be everything else that's out there. But it's the landscape of all our being. But I love the idea that all of these fantasies we have as children, that we begin to feel as we get older, could never come true, that you'll get what you want in life, that you really are a superhero on some level, that the happily ever after is true. You know, we've given that up, most of us, at a certain point. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I've begun to think it really happens. Not that you get the exact thing you want or the exact other person that you want or the circumstance that you want. I mean, maybe, yeah, that doesn't quite come as you expect it to. But the final tally, the final awareness of human life is that you are a freer and happier being than you ever imagined, and you become even freer and happier than you can imagine. That it isn't dust to dust, it's purity to purity. There's this great purity at the beginning and then this incredible kind of dissonance and mishmash of energies, and then it returns to purity at the end. And that we are that purity the whole time. It just happens to get a little bit chaotic in the middle, and some of that chaos gets affected by by Mercury retrograde, or all the other forces that are playing in the universe. There are a lot of forces playing out there, and we are completely affected by them. But I have to say, one of the joys of sitting in this room with a lot of you who've been here for many, many years now, is I'm starting to see this real maturity happening in people. I'm seeing this transformation, sometimes in slow motion, sometimes faster, but I'm seeing this kind of shared amazement at our own lives. That we have these lives. And each life is a speck of something vast, but it's our speck, and it's such an extraordinary thing to have this life. And as we get toward the end of our lives, and I'm getting there faster than you guys, I think, you know, when you get toward the end of your life, you do start to kind of take stock, and you go, wow, wow, what a thing this is, what a thing. It's such an amazing journey. And when you get to share it with people, you begin to really sense how hugely they are your life, how big they're a part of your life, and how wonderful it is to have shared your life with people and to have woven them into the fabric of your being, just as you're being woven into the fabric of their being. This collective resonance is so remarkable and I think ultimately joyful. And I think it takes a kind of clarity at the end, and not everybody has that clarity at the end, but I think it takes a kind of clarity to recognize the amazement of this experience, the true wonder of going through this human journey. And, you know, we may not all get awakened in the classical enlightened sense. We may not all achieve that final, you know, massive kind of knowing. But we achieve a wholeness in our lives, a wholeness, a completion. I've been reading a lot of Rudy this week, and I must say one thing he talks about a lot this particular week and what I'm reading is the need to fill one's life with experience, to not hold back, to just go for it. Because the one thing you don't want at the end of your life is this sense that you didn't live it, or that you only skirted it, or that the fears of your life just kept you kind of in a safe and protected place. Because it's a little bit harder to celebrate the whole of your life when you come to the end of it and it feels paltry or slim or unembraced. And so I think the real encouragement is not just to reach for enlightenment, which I think is a byproduct of living a big life, in a kind of deep seeking, know thyself kind of life, but it's to live life. It's to take it on, to have these experiences, go for them. You know, and probably the ones to go for are the ones that you kind of want but are afraid of. I mean, those are always the most interesting, right? Because they're the ones that are you keep shying away from. You kind of want to go there, but you go, but that it'll be a problem and I'll lose this and there's so much risk and all of that. It's like, this is it. This is the thing to do. This is what life is. Life is these experiences. And if you get to the end of your life and you've had them, then you go, oh, wow, what a ride. What a ride. But if you get to the end of your life and you go, I could have, should have, would have, you don't have quite that same conclusive feeling. I got a packet the other day from somebody that was showing me what they've been doing with their life. A kind of deep looking for appreciation, wanting me to appreciate what they had done. I don't want to go into it too much because it's, I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I looked at it and I thought, this is an eighth grade term paper. This is a high school report. Your life is a high school report. You could have written 7 novels and you wrote a high school report. And I could feel the desperation for acknowledgement, the desperation for appreciation for this thing that had been done. And I felt such sadness because, although probably more could not have been done on some level, it can always be done. It can always be done. The thing that I've become very conscious of is how responsible we are to ourselves at every moment of our life, and I mean from the age of 0 to now. That a 4-year-old is not less responsible to proper behavior and proper connection to self than a 40-year-old or an 80-year-old. That we all know, if you will, right and wrong. We all know what we're being asked to do. We're all aware of what our life is about. And then we either acknowledge it and proceed and do it, or we avoid it and slink away. And we slink away from doing the right thing in a kind of shame, and that compounds itself until finally we are incapable of doing the right thing or living our lives well. We are asked to do things in our life and we say, it's too hard, it's too much, how can I do it? And then we don't do it and we feel this kind of shame that we haven't lived up to who we are and what we can be. It's amazing how something in us knows that, even when we're very small, when we're very young, and it knows it now. The great thing is you can change it at any given moment. You can actually make up for everything at any given moment. All you have to do is touch this deep stillness in yourself, touch this place of awareness, touch this place of equilibrium, this place of harmony and balance. Feel the support it gives, feel the power that it gives, feel the drive that it opens up in you, and then do it. Live your life. Give yourself over to this thing. Give yourself over to possibility. Have experience. Take it on. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because you got nothing to lose. Live the life you want and that you feel deeply calling you. Just live it and have it and see what happens. Miracles happen. There are people sitting in this room for whom miracles have happened, for whom the engagement of life has produced incredible both result, and more importantly from my perspective, it has produced a kind of completeness and wholeness and a kind of depth of character. And I love sitting in the face of that. I love it. Rudy had unbelievable patience. He knew it was going to take years for me to ever emerge as a person. And as a creative person, as a successful person. He worked and worked and worked and worked, and he just was present with me and gave and gave and gave. And the most I can do to honor that kind of unbelievable patience is to offer the same to everybody. Just to know and to be, in a sense, a manifestation of unending patience and love, and hopefully a voice to inspire you to become who you are, who you truly are, because each of you knows in a way what that is. And I have to tell you, it isn't so much getting there as it is making the full effort. Because you can walk away from a full effort with a big heart. You can't walk away from a half effort with a big heart. It just doesn't happen. And you can make that big effort at any given time, including now. You can do everything. And I can see some of your brains working, but the big but keeps coming up. You know, life didn't give me this, and I didn't get that, and there's no doorway here, and I don't have the time, and I come home exhausted from whatever I do, or whatever it is. We all have every excuse in the book. Everybody does, and they're all good excuses, but they're not good excuses in that they stop you. They prevent you from getting the thing you want to have and the thing you want to be. So you can't do it. You just can't do it. You know, I got this heel spur, and I couldn't exercise. And I've been exercising. I've been walking for 10 years on a treadmill and 20 years swimming before that. And I just couldn't walk. And I kind of enjoyed not walking for a while. And then I could feel I was putting on weight, you know, and it was getting sluggish. And I went out and I brought myself a recumbent bicycle because I didn't have to walk on a treadmill. And it took 3 weeks or 4 weeks to deliver, which I was kind of grateful for because I didn't have to exercise. And then it finally came, and I thought, and I had to assemble it, and I'm not a good assembler. But Josh helped me, and the two of us together had a great morning assembling this bicycle. And I've gotten back in it. You know, it's been about 2.5 months of no exercise. Believe me, if you've been doing exercise for a long time, that's not a good thing. But getting back is hard, but it's great. It's great. Getting back on the bicycle or whatever it is you're getting onto is so reviving. It so brings you back to yourself. And I mean that in a way that no matter what obstacle you have, if you get a heel spur, then you don't walk, you ride a bicycle. You do something. You do whatever it is, whatever it takes to change the equation and to keep yourself going. Anyway, you're getting the picture. Somehow or another, we have the ability in ourselves to recover from our own lack of energy, our own lack of drive, our own malaise. We have an ability to find this inspiration over and over. It is a well that rises up endlessly inside us, brings us back to ourselves, brings us back to possibility, and makes it possible to have this extraordinary life that when it's over, it feels like the greatest blessing imaginable, and it will end happily ever after. So, if that helps you, use it. If it doesn't, we'll try again in a few weeks. Rudy Samadhi is on Thursday. All of you probably know that. Those of you who are coming who have not signed up for it, you should sign up downstairs so I can figure out how much food to order. And anyone who wants to bring anything, you should indicate that, and that would be nice. It starts at 7 o'clock, and we'll show... It's the same thing every year, but every year it has its own kind of ritualized, renewing aspect. So I appreciate those of you who make the journey over the 405 or the 101 to be here. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.